Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power to Peace Show today for Sunday. What is today's date? I didn't even to the 12th. March 12th. Thank you, Lady Hell. March 12th, coming to you live and powerful about recognizing, knowing, and learning how to use your power as women. I am Princess. We have a powerful show for you this afternoon. The Power to Pee. How do you know you're ready for a committed relationship? But none of this is possible without my extraordinary co-host team, Lady Say Ow.
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 Wow. So how are you ladies doing today as we prepare for
It's a lazy Sunday.
Yeah, it's a busy Sunday. The snow is coming, and I am not a fan.
To you, I mean, look, I like, in my home, it's all flu germs going on around here. So we're just like, yesterday I was like, man down. And like today, like I got a little bit of life. So I'm like, that's why I sound like Snuffleupagus, everyone is listening. And, you know, but, you know, just going to push through, power through.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
Exactly. You know, because I'm glad today we're not doing recording our webisode because it would not be good. Look, I got the pigtails with the tissue up my nose. Like, it's, you know, beatless.
Not
Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure with those cameras rolling.
I know it's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful that it's on an off week, so I'm like, you know, home with the hoodie on with the leggings. It's like just so. In any event, you know, we have a lot of things to talk about. I'm not gonna go just in order of how we posted it, I guess on our like social media or whatever, but we have a lot of things to talk about. I guess we can hop right into this. I think, you know, this week No Frauds was released from Nicki Minaj as a response to Remy Shisa, there's been a lot of debate going on social media. When I literally have went to sleep. I think was this, I don't know, what night did she release this? Thursday? I think Thursday. I went to sleep. I had just saw a post of Remy, like, as I would call it, backpedaling about the record, meaning, like, she didn't intend for it to go viral or whatever, and wasn't, like, proud of it. And I just thought it was kind of whack because I was like, you know, look. You made the record, stand by it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a dope, like, it's a dope, this record, like, stand by it. Like, don't, just because she didn't respond, like, I think it was just, the song was powerful enough, you don't even just say anything. You don't need to take anything
That's
away
right.
from it, nothing. So, for me, I thought that was a whack move. And so I went to sleep, and then I woke up, like, I don't know, 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden, I saw on my Instagram, like, No Frauds. I was like, what? Wait, is this the response? So I listened to it at, like, 1:00 in the morning. And then I'm like, half sleep writing my assessment about it. Remy Mafia comes after me talking about, you know, like, you know, she wasn't backpedaling and she wasn't, you got your facts wrong. And I was like, calm down.
Oh, boy.
You know, like, calm down, you know. Talk about, you need to listen to her new album, her new record. I was like, yo, calm down. But you're getting good music on your ears. Like, calm down. Listen, I think, yo, it's crazy. I was like, can I get down to like a board of education? Me and it's passionate, like real passionate about some people who don't know you. Now listen. So I said. So I'm saying to myself, look. I appreciate Shisa. Like, I think Shisa, like, if you're a hip hop head, you follow battle rap, you know, I think it's like, you know, A++ for a rap diss record. Now, I'm also a person who likes strategy, you know, who's a thinker, you know, who thinks, I don't know, bigger than just one record. So, and for that, not because, I mean, I want to be clear, because for that, I appreciate Nikki's strategy, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that her response was, like, the greatest response of all time, because it wasn't, you know. She definitely did it on her own terms. And I think that sometimes less is more. That one line, you know, about, you know, who shoots their friend over a stack, who leaves their one son over, what, over a rat, something like that. As a mother, that would hurt me. Like, damn, like, I really did leave my son for $1,000. Like, so,
yeah.
I just want to get my co-host, like, what is your thoughts on it?
I personally, I don't consider it a response. Yeah, shout out to strategy. My thing, I guess, I feel about it is Nikki tried so hard in the beginning. And in the beginning, they say, you know, she's a rapper. She got bars. She got this. And now you know, bubblegum rap, and now money matters. So I get the strategy. I'm not necessarily impressed in the song. You know, you came with a, you know, they're doing apples and zucchini. You know, Remy is, you know, old school battle rap for rap. Nikki, you're clearly not about that life anymore, because the money is the motivation for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider it a response. It's a song. You know, it is what it is. I'm just tired of people comparing it to Jay-Z and Nas. Like, let's leave that alone. Like, let's neither or are the cat, you know, to me, no, let's stop. Like, Nikki is not a Jay-Z, so let's stop that.
I think why people are saying that is because when you think of Takeover, it was a song. Like, you know what I mean? It was, I mean, even though it was a battle rap, so to speak, it was a song. You know what I mean? And I think that that's why people are saying, not that she's Jay-Z, but the strategy in which she used, like, Jay, that was a song. Takeover, you'll hit. Like, you don't really hear, Ether's not played unless you're really talking battle rap. Same way you're not really going to hear Sheether without
Ether. Went on, you know, Jay used it for the blueprint. You know, like,
right.
I remember being at Summer Jam and he having that Summer Jam. I mean, that was crazy, you know, what he did with the Summer Jam stage. Epic. You know, and I mean, his deal, when it comes down to it, look, people also fail to realize that Nas took a few months to put out Ether. He didn't come right back with something, but he came back by himself. My thing with Nikki was, come back by yourself. Don't come back with your team. Like, that was whack. To me, that was whack. That you brought just, you know, the dude you just dissed not too long ago, you brought him back. Clearly, you needed them. So I feel like some of what, you know, Remy said was true. You had to get them. You had to get them. Now, yeah, of course, strategically, she got that song, you know, boom, shot to the charts. We knew it was.
Mm-hmm.
She has a following. She has a following that, you know, the bars is out there. I said something, you know, they can't look, don't troll my page. This ain't what you want. Barb,
mm-hmm.
don't come up over here. You know, like Remy Mafia tried to come for you. I mean,
right.
you know, it's all entertainment. I just personally would like to see a old school, you know, bar for bar battle. But obviously that's not where, like I said, where Nikki is now. And, like, to me, so I feel like it should just be, it's done. You know what I mean? It's really, you know, my thing is, Remy, you made your point. You shot your shot. Time for you to do what you need to do as a solo artist and give us music that we expect from you.
All right, so
move
can, on. Can we, and Lady L, before I mean, there's a few things. Because there was a lot of things that came, not a lot, but a few things that came out. And not only was, all right, so it was just the record itself, the response itself. Then there was the underlying part of the whole surgery, well, it was her girlfriend, her, you know, Ra Ali, you know. Now, I was like, wow, you know, it's funny because if you follow, like, I don't follow Ra, but, like, I went on her page after that, and, like, yo, people were putting mad snake emojis or rat emojis under her
page. Oh, wow.
But here's the thing, though, too, on top of that, right? We're going to talk about Queen, not even going to call her Queen King Petty. Then you got Nicki Minaj under Ross picture talking about bad, beautiful. Like, what? Wow. So, obviously, underlying saying, like, that's how I got the information from your girl. I haven't seen or heard Rock make any public statement about it. But, you know, I will, being that we did line for line on, I ain't going to go line for line on her joint, but I will pull up that line where she said, hold up, where she said, wait, hold up. All right. Looking back to back. Okay. She said, Shanaynay, you were fraud committing perjury. I got before and after pictures of your surgery. Rod took you to her doc, but you don't look like Rod. Left the operating table, still look like Nah. I mean, I would like to see the pictures.
I saw a picture floating around. You didn't see a before picture?
No.
Okay, I'll tag you.
I saw
a photo, and you know, a lot of shade thrown about how dare you talk about surgery when this was you. I don't know, you know, look like a photo. She could have been in high school before she had babies. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I know my butt got bigger after I had a baby, but, you know, hey.
I don't think
the reference to her having, you know, surgery, which we all know she did, I don't think that was the worst of Sheetha. I think there was a lot more than, you know, than that.
Here's the deal.
If that's the only comeback that, you know, she really had, that was the biggest dig, I mean, I think Remy is still winning. I think she's hashtag.
No.
And that wasn't
all. No, that
all
wasn't
the
biggest
gloves come
dig.
Off in the battle. Like, and even somebody asked me, what if she mentions a miscarriage? Like, I feel like gloves come off in a battle. When you go dig deep to talk about pedophilia, all this other stuff, like, Remy, you have to, with as much as you can throw, you have to be able to catch. Would I want to hear that? No, but I don't want to hear about the brother being a pedophile either. So I'm not really, you know, you got to, Remy got to, I mean, Nikki, everybody got to go for theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a battle is a battle. You know, if we going to talk about Nas and Jay, they got to talk about baby mothers and this and that. Like, you know, kids, like, things happen. So my thing is, like, Nikki, come out guns blazing, because Remy came out guns blazing. Like, that's the good part.
Yeah.
But have receipts.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, have some receipts. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I say we all stay tuned, because I think I got a feeling this is just the beginning. I don't think that, you know, it's going to hurt to, like, you know, because if I'm not mistaken, I don't know how work works or how it's working out with the whole clearance of Sheetha, or where she can and can't, or where it can be played, mm-hmm. where it can't. But we do know that No Frauds is definitely going to, oh, wow. I just
got it. I
sent
it to both of y'all.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow.
You can put it on the page. Yeah. You can put it on the page.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on there. I'm like, yeah.
I sent it to you, so social like.
Okay.
You know? So I'm just like, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm thinking that, you know, she's going to, it'd be interesting to see what Remy does next. Because Nikki kind of opened it up. Not only, like, you know, is it now a battle, but then you brought Weezy and then you brought Drake, you know, and, you know, now they're kind of involved in it. So now the question is now does Pap become involved
like,
in it?
I want Pap and Joe to come, like, I want it to be like a full on, like, your crew versus my crew. Like, Pap and Fat Joe go in, for, like, I just, that would be epic. Like, that's what I want.
And, you know,
like,
there's a historic relationship, you know, battle relationship between the Bronx and
mm-hmm.
Queens. Y'all just
mm-hmm.
sent me a text to say, even
right.
Ed Lover said, Nikki's response
Yo.
Was like, you know, this goes back to, you know, Boogie Down Productions and, you know, and
Nikki needs to get on the
Chan. Yeah. So, like, when you know, I posted last week after the show, Bridges Over was never responded to. Like, that KRS-One shut that down. You know, like, it was it. Y'all go back to Queensbridge with all that noise, you know. They went back and forth, you know, from South Bronx and, you know, Kill That Noise, and it went back and forth, but the Bridges Over shut it all down. And, you know, so we have this historical relationship. And, you know, she had to bring it. I still think it's hashtag winning for Remy. And I thought her backpedaling was whack. I don't think it's possible in 2017 to release anything without it going viral. Nothing.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That didn't even make sense. You put something up on your page, you're a celebrity, of course it's going viral. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. How does it not go viral? So I didn't understand that. You know, I do think that, stand by what you did. Plenty mm-hmm. of people thought it was a solid piece of music, and if we're engaging in this battle thing, there are those of us who like that, who appreciate that. Battling is competition. It brings out the both in on both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we have to be aware if we're going to engage, you know, where it can go. I think you're absolutely right, Ms. Socialite. All gloves come off. But, you know, don't stick your toe in the pool and then pull it back and say, I didn't, you know, don't do that. That's
right.
Back. And we don't do that. We don't do that in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. We don't do that.
Exactly. Right. Once you put your hands up
and follow through.
Remy needs to hop on the Bridges Over. That's all I'm saying. Call They need to hop on that.
I'm interested.
You heard it here first, people.
I'm interested to see what happens next. So, I mean, just, I don't, you know, like, I feel like they take L's in different, when they battle. Nikki definitely took the L. When we talk about strategy and going forward, talking about who's going to, like, overall going to come out winning in terms of this industry or music career thing, I don't know. I'm thinking Nikki's going to win. So I feel like they're going to get their respective L's. I don't know, but we'll see. I have a feeling that this is not the end of it. I feel like there's more to come. You know, like, I just think that this is just the beginning of what's going to be a long history. The same way we had Lil' Kim and Foxy, you know. Then it's like, you know, your album. Because now the next thing we're going to be waiting for, obviously, is Remy's album, you know, Nikki's mm-hmm. album, to see what
right.
they both do, you know. Because that's, you know, because then that's going to really look. Remy is a great battle artist, you know what I'm saying? But when we talk about being an overall artist entertainer, I don't know if I can hear Remy that long. You know what I mean? The one thing Nikki's been able to do is sustain over time. So we'll see. Time is only going to tell. But it'll be interesting to see if any more battle records come out of the Remy Mafia camp. So, you know. All right. So that's my two cents on that. And then while we're talking about celebrities, I just want to get this conversation over. Sierra's family photo, appropriate or not? I'm just trying to understand, like, what were your thoughts when you saw it, Lady L? Like, when you saw this picture, like, what did you think of Sierra?
I was very confused. First of all, just a little commentary on. Too many of these celebrities look alike because I thought it was Beyonce. I thought Beyonce was holding blue. So I was very, very confused there for a moment when you said, you know, can we get our own look? Can we not look like everybody else? So that was my first thing. Why does Sierra look so much like Beyonce? Was that always the case? Does she always look so much like Beyonce, or is it me?
I don't know about Sierra looking like no Beyonce. Let me see.
She looks like Beyonce.
I can see how you can see that. If a quick glance, a quick glance.
Yeah, because without the words, I thought I was looking at a picture of Beyonce holding.
So what you thought that was
Anne? Yeah, I did.
Oh wow!
I did.
Nah,
I thought
yeah,
it was Beyonce.
No.
They look, but, there's too many light skin, long blonde hair. There's too much of that going on. We got to address that. I thought it was a beautiful photo.
You think it's beautiful?
You know, once I put my glasses on and I thought it was a beautiful photo. So there's something here, right? There's some under rumblings about how appropriate it is, because I guess everyone was unclothed in the photo, and but I thought it was beautiful.
What about you, Miss Sophie? Like,
I was confused. I was
very
confused. You know, in my text message, I was like, "Where is the head? Like, where? Whose head is that? Like, where is his head at?" I don't get all these, and I don't want to use the word tacky, so I'll use faceless, I guess. I mean, you know, maternity is beautiful, but I think that some things just need to be left at home. That's the picture. Like, I just thought it was poor art direction. Like, you are a Calvin Klein model. Like, y'all could have, why didn't your child have on Calvin Klein? Like, you know, I get that, and here's the thing. Clearly, Russell takes care of that little boy, and we all know that Future is petty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on-site doesn't really have much interaction. So I'm not mad at the fact that that's not his biological father. I just didn't understand the direction, so it looked tasteless to me. But, you know, then she showed one where they all had on, like, the white shirts. You know, she released a different version. That looked a little bit better. Celebrities know that they're overly critiqued. But I also know that they like the attention. Like, that got us talking about Ciara, because, you know, when B said she was pregnant, we forgot about Ciara being pregnant. So maybe
right.
It was a pull for attention. I mean,
that's,
you know,
a good
that's,
point. That's a really good yeah. point.
Certain things to me, I just feel like, I guess, you know, I'm not a celebrity, but certain things, like, keep to yourself. You don't always have to show every little piece of everything.
Right.
But
I think that's a beautiful private photo. I agree. Yes, mm-hmm. I think that should have been kept to themselves. I think the photo is beautiful, but I do think it's private. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe you could have released the one with the jeans, like if you wanted to. But yes, I agree. I felt some type of I don't know, me personally, I would feel awkward. Like, first of all, that boy is mad big. One to be having like his little pee-pee laying on. It's just weird. I don't know. For me, a little bit. I think.
How old is he?
I don't know. He looks like he could be, I don't know. He got to be like, what, 4?
Still a baby. He's still little. I thought you were saying he was like 8 or 9. He's about Blue's age, right? Isn't she around that age? 4 or 5, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think he's 5. Mm-hmm. He's like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
years
he's just big.
Yeah, I just
well,
don't.
Well, Sierra's
yeah.
tall, and so is Future.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little on the fence. I just feel like certain things, like, and I get that you got this blended family, that's your husband. I don't know. I would have felt a little awkward. Like, I mean, I feel like there's like so many other ideas we could have came up with in terms of photo to do, to incorporate, to feel like one versus all of this skin and skin. Or again, if you really were adamant about doing it, I agree, Ms. Socialite. It should have been something that was kept private at home. Someone talked to you, oh, you did that. Like, yeah, that to me would have been beautiful, but like,
it's beautiful. But now, if this was a if the child was a girl, would you feel better about it? Would that make you
no.
feel less?
Nope.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, I just,
okay.
Nah,
yeah, I think
nah,
it's
I don't
beautiful.
Feel...
Yeah.
I'm very iffy about children. I'll be honest with you, in putting them online.
Yeah.
Right. And I think I'm very iffy with that. Even fully clothed, I'm just really iffy. Especially at certain ages, when your child has kind of developed their own personality, you know, you're 10, you're 11, you're 12, like, okay, you can see them a lot more. But I just think that sometimes the younger ones, people just put them online too much.
Yeah, showing all their
I agree. Yeah. And it's
feeling,
like they don't have a voice in their own, you know, once you do that, once you expose a child like that, they completely they have no control over their own privacy. What if the child doesn't want to be shown, right? Somebody else is doing that. And you can't ever take it back.
Right. It's the life that you chose, not that they chose.
Right.
So,
yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a lot. Yeah, this kid might, in 10 years, you know that this photo has been floating around and be completely mortified about it. Yeah. It is. Yeah, that is a problem.
Okay. So, all right, so I just had to address those two things. So when we talk about, now we're kind of just going to keep it flowing, and we talk about problems. So Lady L sent me a text today with Howard University, one of their professors did a mock slavery auction, which I, you know, I'm reading the article and I'm like to myself, like just shaking my head, like, you know, hitting my head, shaking my head, slapping my head with the emoji, like what the hell? What is
going
on?
And the professor is white. And so he decided that he was going to, I guess, demonstrate the emotional side of, you know, what it was like for people to be on an auction block. And he kind of scanned his room and, you know, decided that he wanted one young man to stand up who he said would have gone for about $400. So he, you know, he recreated the auction block experience, you know, looking at him physically, showing his, you know, teeth, and ultimately telling him to turn around and show the class, you know, his butt. And, you know, that's when the kid sat down and, you know, was humiliated and picked up his phone and tried to get past the moment. The article talks about other students in the class, you know, other students in the class trying to stop him, you know, and saying kind of like, that's enough. But he kept going and he wanted them to experience, you know, everything about that. Because I guess, I don't know, from his perspective, maybe people don't necessarily understand the full impact of what slavery was. So even something like being sold and the dehumanization and the humiliation that goes along with that. I mean, so if, you know, if his intention was to allow students to feel the full impact of that, I guess you could say he was successful. As a white person, that was probably something that, it took a lot of courage for him to do that in the name of being an educator and wanting his students to really experience the full impact. So, you know, I'm not really sure why every year we're hearing these stories in one way or another, you know. Last year was, I think, in PG County, right near D.C., where a teacher had, had recreated a slave auction and had posted, you know, I don't know why slavery, you know, has to be taught in quite these ways, you know, and maybe there is something about the level of, like, maybe we're desensitized. As a society now, because, you know, we engage so frequently with inanimate objects that, you know, maybe teachers want to figure out a way to make people very sensitive about that aspect of history, you know. And if
yeah.
that's the case,
yeah,
I get it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that it sounded like, and I get what you're saying, like it sounded like it was just done unexpectedly in a classroom, and no one, I guess, was prepared for what was about to take place. I do get what he was trying to do. I think that he probably should have prepared the class. You know, because I think it would have given it a different experience. If they were prepared for what was about to happen, and it even give them the option to opt out if they felt like,
right.
you know, they couldn't, you know, deal with it. So I think what I don't think it's a bad thing, because I do think that a lot of people are somewhat desensitized about slavery. It's like, okay, it's a thing that happened, you know, many, many years ago. And some people get it. Some people are sensitive to it. But I don't think all people, especially young people, really get the gravity of what is taking place. But I also think, could he have also, you know, established the same sort of feeling by watching a movie like Birth of a Nation,
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know when I watched Sankofa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
those movies inflicted the same sort of emotion I think you would have inflicted,
yes.
you know, that he was trying to achieve
Definitely.
In person.
Definitely. And I think he took a... I'm sorry.
Did you say, where was this at? Howard University?
Howard University.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think the only thing that's disturbing to me about that is these are adults. If you felt that uncomfortable, get up and walk out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like, and here's the thing, I'm not taking up for the teacher. I feel like that's something that should have been, like, fully explained, even if you had to maybe sign a consent form. Like, sometimes you have to cover yourself. So he should have covered himself in that aspect. Like, look, here's what I would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
To get, you know, it may take you there mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do not want to do this, here goes an alternative assignment. You know, whatever. Cover yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and the students make a clear.
I don't know if he was courageous or extremely stupid. Like, I haven't quite worked that out in my head. You know I felt for the student who was humiliated, because, you know, where's the end game there for him? Like, he experienced something. Clearly, we know none of these students in this classroom will ever forget the experience, right? So they do have a very clear sense of, you know, feeling, you know, and it wasn't even, like, the full gravity of it, right? You can't ever feel what actual human beings on the slave auction block felt. But what they experience will certainly have a major impact on their lives, you know, forever. But, again, I don't know if this professor, and he being a white man, certainly adds to it. So he might be a genius. He might be completely insane. I don't know. Would I want my child to endure that? I mean, I think my child probably has the stomach more than, you know, many in her generation, just because she's been my child. But I think she would be somewhat traumatized by that, and I'm not sure that I send her to college to be traumatized, you know. I think what you're saying is true. It can, that getting that feeling could have been achieved. I remember feeling it, like you said, in Birth of a Nation, 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. I remember those scenes really, you know, the powerful impact of watching, you know, those characters endure that treatment. It left, you know, and it does the trick. If you want to know about it, it certainly
exactly.
does the trick without, yeah, having to recreate it.
Sound.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
It's a problem. It's a problem.
Yeah, I think administration definitely just needs to address it in an aspect, because I listen, and I get what you're saying, Althema, but, you know, if you're talking about students that could have been in his class that are, like, straight out of high school, they're still coming into their own power. They don't really – some of them don't feel like maybe – like, you know, they're still transitioning from that, like, high school, you know, not really – you know, still grasping. I might – you know, I'm an – you know, I'm actually an adult. I can, you know, do things like walk out of a class, you know. So
right.
as a parent, like, if Dream called me and she was like, she went through this experience, you could bet I'm going to be going down – coming down 87 – having a problem when I'm paying tuition
mm-hmm.
and my daughter's going through this traumatic experience, you
mm-hmm.
know, when I've been able to
mm-hmm.
get her to understand about slavery and her ancestors on my own without some white teacher that is, you know, going to traumatize her about her ancestors. I'm not, like, so it would be a problem for me as a mom, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he should have just took the initiative to say to the administration, like, I'm going to be talking about X subject. I would like to get consent or give notification. You know, like, give them the option. Like, if you're not going to be in a class, I need you to watch Birth of a Nation. Like, those are your,
mm-hmm.
that's your, you know, you have to watch X, Y, and Z, one of these films, and be able to come and join in a discussion on the next class. But this is what was happening this day in class. You have the option to participate or not, you know? That's
mm-hmm.
what I would have felt.
And I think my big question about my child attending Howard University, why is the white man teaching about history at Howard University?
I mean, that's,
like, honestly, we can't find, you know what I mean? Like, why is that going on at Howard University? I'm very, I know they have professors of all races, but, you know, can we, if we go to an HBCU, can we keep the history, the telling of history, the learning about, the teaching of history in our hands? Can we do that, please?
Right.
Isn't that
right?
The point of an HBCU?
I thought that was the benefit of going.
Exactly.
I was going to say, I thought that was the benefit.
Exactly. I mean, I didn't attend an HBCU, but, I mean, certainly if I was sending my child there, the expectation would be, all right, she's had enough non-black history teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get in formation and learn about history from us. You know, like I wouldn't be sending my kids to an HBCU to have a white history professor. Just wouldn't. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to follow. I want to try to see what the outcome of all of this is. You know, he might be one of those professors who has a reputation at the school for kind of, you know, teaching history in this in-your-face kind of, you know, maybe he's that guy. But, I expect that Howard is going to offer a little bit, a perspective that's a little bit different.
I look forward to it. So, Elle, if you can keep following up on the story, if you find out any more, maybe we need to post and see if any of our HU alumni that follow us, you know, have insight on it. I would definitely like to find out what where they go from here, and what if any recourse there is for this professor. You know, I don't feel like he needs to be, like, fired, but I do feel like he definitely needs, like, you know, he needs a pop, you know, real quick, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please don't traumatize the kids. Please let me not do that. They're in college, but they're still young people. Let's not traumatize them.
Exactly. So, with that, while, you know, other things that I saw, so I'm on my Instagram. No, it's actually on my Facebook. And there's a gentleman. He's like, you know, you have these different, like, internet sensations that, you know, have all of these words of wisdom to post.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a gentleman. His name is Trent Shelton. And he had this post, and it was about, you know, are you ready, you know, am I ready? How do you know you're ready to be in a committed relationship? And I was just listening to it, and I was just like, you know, that's actually a good question, because, you know, I know we talk, you know, since we've returned back on air, we've been talking about dating and, you know, getting out there. Elle, we know you're in a relationship. And I thought that it would be a good question to pose, because a lot of times people just, you know, like, they, you know, they say they want to be in relationships, but do they really understand what it is they're saying when they say, I want to be in a committed relationship? Like, What does that mean to you? Like, to you guys, like when you hear that, like when you say I'm ready to be in a committed relationship, that means I am willing, I am ready to do what? Fill in the blank. You laughing? It's funny.
I think to me it means that I'm ready to really be very concerned about another person's happiness and well-being. And put myself out there that he will be equally as concerned about my happiness and well-being. So, you know, you have to sort of let go, you know, particularly if you are someone who has, you know, we do the strong black woman thing very, very well. We hold it down. We make the magic. We create all kinds of fabulous things out of virtually nothing, you know. That's our sensibility. And so when you are ready to be in a committed relationship, there's a certain level of letting go of that and letting someone else step in. So it's about trust. Mm. It's about yourself, you know, opening up and allowing someone else in where maybe, you know, your inclination is to sort of have your guard up a little bit to protect you and yours, you know, to be sort of ready to allow someone else to kind of step in and then have the trust that, you know, he's going to take care of your heart. So it requires a lot of stripping down, you know, emotionally and replacing that with a lot of trust. And, you know, taking a big risk that, you know, potentially, you know, this could end with me being hurt, but I'm willing to sort of take a chance to see what this person is about and, you know, and really hope for the best.
So, all right, so I'm thinking about, you know, like when people, you know, in this, like, especially this day and age, when we live in an age of bae, you know, everyone, you know, I want a bae for this, so I need to, or I need a, I want a bae for that. And it seems like really like, you know, like more of the I than the what we can do together, you know. Why do you, like, you know, why do you, like, because I'm just, you know, and I think about that. I was like what is the purpose if it's just about what you want from that person, not what you can give that person? So, I mean, have you guys encountered those kind of conversations with anybody, you know, like, you know, just like when it feels like it's more like they're not really necessarily ready for a relationship. They just want the things that come with a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like they want the, you know, they want the guy
want the
to be.
Yeah, sure.
But I think, you know, everybody is guilty of that. Like, I know for me, I'm like, you know, only I had a day, you know, I wouldn't be doing, you know, A, B, or C, you know. I think everyone does that.
To your point, I think, you know, the part that you said about thinking about I and not thinking about we, I mean, I think that becomes the problem because it isn't. You know, when you're getting into a relationship, it's not about I. You know, it's about the other person. So, I mean, what I have figured out is, like, that's what real, like, true love is. When, you know, you're thinking, you're trusting that the other person, you're trusting that your partner got your back on the happiness front, right? He got my back. Mm-hmm. He's going to make sure that I'm happy, I'm taken care of. He has that, and I have his back, right? So it's like I don't even have to worry about that because he's going to make sure that I'm taken care of, I'm going to make sure he's taken care of, and that's what I think real, true love is, right? We let go, which is very difficult for us, particularly those of us who have, you know, been single for an extensive amount of time, because that's our sensibility. You know, we take care of ourselves. So it's the total sort of, like, letting down of all of that and allowing someone else to step in. Now, the big issue is does that person know, right? Does he know that that's his job? So the problem happens when I know that's my job, but he doesn't know that's his job. So I wind up, so this all becomes very one-sided. But, you know, when it's right and when you, so you have to be ready. You know, you have to be, if you're ready for a committed relationship, you have to be ready to do that. The you know, in your search, you have to find the person who's also ready to do that.
Right.
And so it does, it's not just about, I have a date Saturday night, I'm, you know, people going to look at me when we step into the place. It's not that. There's so much more before you even get to that.
I think, you have to get to the communication point, too, because certain people, you realize that everyone communicates differently. And like you said, Leo, does that person realize? Like, sometimes I think shedding the attention with a person, like, this, okay, this relationship means I expect this. You know, like, you know, and when I say this, this is what I mean, because I think that you do, you know, you guys can be on two different wavelengths, like, and it's like that could be a real big problem.
I think that, I guess for me, it was like what came up when I saw, when I was watching this video was, or what I identified with was you, when you say you want to be in a committed relationship, you have to me, be in a place, almost a place of surrender. Not that surrender, not meaning like you're going to have to give up everything of who you are. No, no, not that, but the willingness to be able to serve someone else with the hope and intention that is reciprocated. So that was one thing that came up for me. And I think, and I guess it just pushed me to say, well, do people really know what it means to be, or are they really ready to be in a committed relationship? Because I know I've been in that space in my life where it's like, look, we just talking, or, you know, we kicking it or whatever, because that's all I needed at that point in my life. Like, I'm not ready to get up and, you know, make you breakfast. Not that you're requesting me, because, you know, like just doing things that are of service to someone that I love and care for. And I wasn't necessarily in that space where I was ready to be that selfless to make sure I put someone else's needs before mine. So I think that it's important when people say, okay, I want a bae or I want to be in a relationship, that they understand, like, part of it is, you know, that hopefully you are getting what you're putting out in return. That's what you, that's the idea.
Yeah.
But are you willing to do that? Like, are you willing to surrender that part, like, and say, you know, I think some people just want to be in a relationship just for the idea of being in a relationship. And I know me, as someone who's been a single person, I think for me now in my life, because, I think now I'm in a space in my life where I want to be in a committed relationship, where I am able to, you know, give to someone else. Now, I don't think I would have been able to do it any time beforehand, because I don't think I was ready. And I think, you know, there is like this, there is a coming, I guess, coming to Jesus moment, so to speak, that you have with yourself, and you're like, okay, I've done this or came this far in my life where now I'm ready to, like, share my life with someone else and really be a partner, you know, and be in it together. I'm helping you. You're helping me. We're doing this thing together.
So Yah just added what's critical, and what a critical component of this is to make sure you can put your pride and your ego aside. So in order to do that, there's got to be this willingness that you're going to hear the other person, right? You're going to recognize their needs. You're going to hear them. There's not, you know, this need to always be right. I think that's probably the single most destructive component of a relationship, right? I'm never going to be wrong. I'm always going to be right. I'm going to win everything.
Right.
It's not important. Being right is not important, right? If you... You know, if you're building something, it's about listening and communicating. Also sort of knowing that the whole goal in this is not to be saved and not to need to save someone else. that, I think, becomes something that people don't really talk about, but some of us have savior complexes, you know, like we feel some sense of, you know, having accomplished something if you play a role in moving a person from point A to point B. You know, he didn't have a job, now he has, you know, now he's getting promoted every other month. It's because of you. You helped him with his resume. And so that's something that you sort of, that becomes some of a part of your own identity, that you helped someone, you know, sort of move from point A to point B and you're their savior, or if that person's trying to in some way save you. You know, when you had talked about, you know, wanting a bae and then sort of like, I'm not sure if the bae transitions well into the serious relationship, because there might not be enough communication with the bae, right? They serve a very specific purpose that might not even require all that much communicating, at least not verbally. But, you know, the committed serious relationship involves, you know, that's the person with whom you communicate. So, I mean, it starts with, you know, just sharing and breaking down walls and letting go of pride and ego and really sort of revealing and being naked, you know, metaphorically in front of this person, and then moving from there. And then in that, you make some determinations about, is this the person who is going to have my back without my even having to ask? You know, can I have this person's back? Do I want to have this person's back? Like that, the bae, I don't know that the bae transitions into that. I'm not sure. Jury's still out on that. You and bae don't do enough communicating. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I don't think the bae, isn't that an acronym for something? No.
Yeah. It is.
What is
One of my students told me what it means.
I can't even remember. I don't even know. Yeah. I had to go to the Urban Dictionary real quick because now it's going to bother me. What is the bae definition? So sad. They're like, no, it doesn't even say. I guess Urban Dictionary doesn't even have it. Baby short. Oh, before anyone else.
Right, that's it. Before anyone else.
Except God. God definitely comes before you. You know, so. Yeah,
right.
I just wanted to pose that question, and I think that, you know, this is one of those to-be-continued discussions. I think what you were saying just now, Lady Al, you know, that whole, like, communication part is a large, intricate part of that in talking about intimacy, you know, or as they say, into me see, you know, being able to share layers of yourself that, you know, you're not necessarily going to share with, you know, bae that might just be around for the moment serving whatever maintenance person purposes that person may be, supplying.
Needing at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but I think it's more of the rhetorical question I wanted to pose to the audience. Like, you know, we say we want these committed relationships, but are we ready? Do we know what that means? To be in a committed relationship, and it's like, it's more than just like, you know, me, like, at least for me, and I'm like, wow, you know, little things that you, it's like, especially dependent women, I got it, it's like, okay, even me, I'm like here, like, struggling with a cold, I'm like, wouldn't it be so nice if I had, like, a partner that can, like, wait on me hand and foot, but because I would be willing to do that if they were sick, you know what I'm saying? So
you do get to that point
in your life where you're like, okay, these are the things that I'm wishing for, wanting for, because I know I would do that for another person. You know, I think people need to just check if it's just one-sided, you are definitely not ready for a relationship, if it's about what you can receive only from a person mm-hmm. in a relationship, then you're definitely not ready to do it, because part of it is about service. And are you mm-hmm. willing and ready to do that? You know, and even you look at, or you listen to wedding vows, you know, a lot of it's this even exchange, or supposed to be this even exchange of, I'm going to do for you just the same way you're going to do for me, and I'm committing to that. Mm-hmm. So, and if you're looking, you're out in the world dating, if that's where your ultimate goal is, whether it's to be married or to have a life partner or whatever, you know, you want to consider, am I ready to be humble? Am I ready to be of service? Am I, you know, all of these things.
And so, with wedding vows, you are making a promise that you put that person first. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you are to get married, Diana, you put before Dream, you put your husband, right? That's the promise you make. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's also something that people, you know, they say words, they exchange vows, and don't really know what that means, but that's what it means. It means this person comes before everybody.
We should do a show breaking down vows, and I like that you bring up that point, because I remember distinctively watching an interview with like Will and Jada on Oprah many moons ago, when they were talking about how they put themselves before the children, and mm-hmm. Oprah obviously asked them to, you know, expound on that and explain to, you know, what does that mean. And I remember like Jada saying, like, if we're not good, none of this works.
That's right. And you're the foundation.
You're the foundation. Right, exactly. So if we're not good together, like we're not on the same page. The kids are not going to function right. Home's not going to. So we have to mm-hmm. put each other first. And I think that
right.
yeah, we definitely should have that, like, we should have a show where we just break down vows. You know, before you say I do you know what I do means? Or something like that.
Exactly.
Because people, again, fall in love with the fantasy of something, but not really
yeah.
understand, or not willing to really go there and really understand the work of it. You know, maybe we could get like
yeah.
a pastor to come. You know, I got a pastor in mind that I think would be good to come on the show and break it down for us. So, you know,
okay.
from her perspective. All right. So we'll, you know, to be continued. So we are, you know, at that time. And I'm so happy we were able to have this discussion today, even though despite me being under the weather. Yo, they saying, what, 18 inches about to come or something like that? Something crazy.
Goodness.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess, you know, go stock up your refrigerator, because, you know, it's about to be snowed in, get some board games or something, you know, and, you know, you know what I wanted to mention before we get off the air real quick? I mean, because it's only going to take two. I know I sent you guys that crazy post about Atlanta and the whole, like.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know,
yes.
If you guys.
The Atlanta
orgy. If you guys, the audience, have seen. Yeah, the Atlanta orgy. I don't understand that, because Atlanta is like, you know, the home of HIV, AIDS, like one of the highest. I think they said the highest.
Rates of HIV. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you have the nerve to be wanting to do an open orgy party. I just don't. I don't get it. I just, you know, AIDS. I just wanted to say AIDS is still very, very real. I know we look at Magic Johnson, but you know they haven't. You know he has a lot of money that. Most people don't have to live a very, you know, healthy and productive life despite having the virus. And I think it's important for people to remember that it is very real. Maybe I need to reach out to Maria Davis, and we need to just continue to have these conversations. Like, I don't think it's a good idea, you know.
We need to send her to Atlanta, because apparently this is very common in Atlanta. This is very,
yeah,
very common.
That's crazy. But yeah, we you know, to be continued. But so before the air kick, you know, we get kicked off the air. Just want to thank you all for listening. We will be back on air next Sunday. We will be doing our webisodes. Hopefully, I'll be looking and feeling more fabulous. I want to thank you, Lady L. I want to thank you, Miss Socialite. And without further ado, all my ladies say ow.
Ow.
Yeah.